Bezras Hashem Yisbarech, today's daf is Vav in Meseches Moed Katan. Our daf is going to continue the topic on Heyam Beis, and that is the topic of Tumah and Tahara, which we had gotten into because the Mishnah says that one is allowed to mark areas of potential graves on Chol HaMoed to prevent people from becoming Tameh from those graves. On Heyam Beis, we discussed many of the halachas of Tumah. A case of Suffolk, whether there is a body that's buried here. And we're going to pick up seven lines from the top that's going to discuss the halachas of marking graves. Then we're going to discuss the expression of the Mishnah that tells us that the Shluchei Bezdin will go out even on Chol HaMoed to uproot potential prohibitions of Klayim. And our daf will discuss Klayim going on to Amud Beis. And then we will have a new Mishnah, continuing with the halachos of irrigating on Chol HaMoed, as well as we will discuss in our daf, irrigating on Shviyas. And finally, we will conclude with a Mishnah about trapping rodents in fields during Shemitah and Chol HaMoed. So let's, Be'ezer Hashem, pick up seven lines from the top. Amar of Yehuda, Matza Evan Mitsuyenes. If you find a stone that has been painted with lime, which is the telltale sign of a tziyun, a sign that is being made that there is someone buried there, what area is tameh? So the Rav Yehuda says, tachtea tameh. Immediately under the stone is tameh. Shtayim. If you find two stones, im yesh sid beinehen, beinehen tameh. So if you have two stones that are marking and over the ground there's also sid lime that is put between them, so then you assume that the entire area is marking off an area that's tameh. Vim ein sid beinehen, but if there isn't any line between them, then the halacha is tahar. Va'afal gav delo charish, even though the area was not plowed. We learned on yesterday's daf that in a time when a person is sure that the area has been plowed, as Rashi explains on the first wide line on Heyam and Beis, that if it is plowed, then presumably the tumah has been removed. So here the chiddush is that even though it wasn't plowed, nevertheless the halacha is that we could presume that the area is tar. Asks the Gemara, Tanya, didn't we learn in a brisa, which is quoted in Tosefta in Shkolim, Motza even achas mitzuyenes tachtei tame. If you find one stone, the area underneath is tame. Im yesh choresh beinehen, beinehen tar. If you know that the area was plowed and therefore the dead body removed, so then in such a case it's tar. Vim lav beinehen tame. But if not, automatically we assume the area between them is tame, and we don't simply look of whether there's lime on the ground. Even if there's no sid that's put on the ground, nevertheless the area is going to be tamit. Answers the Gemara, Rav Papa, Hachikish Asid Shafuch al Roshein Umaruda Lakan Lakan, I Ika Chorish Beinein Beinein Tar, De Eima Machmas Chorishu Dikba. In our case where we say we're tar, in Shkolim, is a case in where the lime was spread, and it's obvious that there was lime that was also in between the two. That's what the word Meruda means. It was broken apart between the two. But we have a suffix if it was intentionally placed there or it simply fell off the two rocks over there. So, if there was plowing between them, so then in such a case we could assume that they're tar. In other words, we could assume that the lime that had fallen was just lime that was kicked up in the plowing by those two rocks. Emer machmas chorishu dikbal. V'ilo, but if not, sid de beini beinihu, we have to assume that it was lime that was put between them, v'tameh, and it's going to be tameh. So halacha would be that once lime is put there for sure, that it's going to be tameh. However, what happens if it's unclear how the lime got there, whether the lime got there intentionally or not? So then if there was charisha, if it was plowed, then we could assume that was there by mistake. Amar Rabbi Yassi, mitzad echad mitzuyinhu tameh. If there's a field where there's a stone where all of them have markings on one side, so that becomes the border. Hu tameh, v'cha asada kula tahor, and the rest is tar. Shnayim. If there are two sides of the fields that are marked, so then as well, we just look at that area. Shnayim heim tmeim, those areas are tameh, v'cha asada kula tahor. Shlosha, three sides, heim tmei mekasa de kula Torah. Arba, but if all four sides of the field have rocks that are around the perimeter that are signed off, hein tarin, under those rocks are tar, v'chalas adekul tmei, because it's circling the field to show that that entire field is tamei. Da'amar mar, because mar taught, ein marchikin sion mimakum tuma, shelo lahafsid es eretz Yisrael. The reason why, explains Rashi, that they would mark the boundaries is they would want to show the exact area of the place that is tameh, and thereby not cause more of Eretz Yisrael to be lost to Tumah. And it must be that that area is entirely tameh, because if that area was not, they would never have put a boundary, a perimeter, because of our rule that we already also learned in yesterday's daf, shelo lahafsid Eretz Yisrael. So if it's surrounded on four sides, it must be the entire area is tameh. We learned in our mission of Yotzin Achal HaKlaim that on Chol HaMoed Shul Chai Bezon could go out to Upru Klaim, asks the Gemara, V'Aklaim B'Chol HaShemayim Nafkina? Did they go out? Urimin, I'll ask you the following question. Be'echod Ba'adar Mashkina Al HaShkolim Al HaKlaim. The beginning of Masech HaShkolim says, then first and other they may announce on Shkolim and Klaim. B'chamisha Asar Boi, in other words, they would call and say there's a mitzvah Shkolim and Klaim. B'chamisha Asar Boi, Kari Nes HaMegillah. On the 15th, they would read the Megillah, B'krachim, in the walled cities. V'yatzin l'kavetzes hadrachim, and they would go out to fix the ways, to remove thorns. V'usakin ha'rechovos, v'limud ha'mikvos, and to measure mikvos, to make sure they're kosher. V'yatzin kol tzarchei rabim, and they would do all those things that are needed for the rabim. U'mitzaynis ha'kvars v'yatzin ala klayim, and they would go out for klayim. So when did they go out from klayim? They would go out on the 15th of Adar. If they already, says Rashi, in the last three narrow lines, if they've already gone out on the 15th of Adar to uproot the Klayim, so that why are they going out a month later, a little bit more than a month later, to again on Pesach, let's say, Chol HaMoed, and why even on Sukkot, if it was already taken care of on the 15th of Adar? The Gemara gives two terutz in Reblaza, Rebbe Yosef Rechanina, Chad HaMerkan Bibachir Kan Ba'afil. Bechir are from the same word as Bechor, are the first ones. The first ones, the first growths and intermingling of things growing in the field takes place in Tesvav Adar. And the word afil means from dark. The darker ones, the slower ones, so they come out on Chol HaMoed Shel Pesach. Chad Omer, another teretz was Kam Bizroim, Kam Biyurakos. It depends on what type of vegetation we're discussing. If we're talking about Zroim, that means wheat, making sure the wheat does not mix with the vine, that takes place on Tesvav Adar. And then, later on, you have the vegetables that come out. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, this rule that we learn in Shkolim, that we only go out for Klayim, starting with Rosh Chodesh Adar, lo yishanu elishin ein nitzan nikar. It's only if the buds are not obvious, that the buds have not come out before Ador or before Chol HaMoed. Aval nitzan nikar, if it's begun to bud beforehand, yoytzin aleim, then we would go out. The Gemara clarifies, Ma'ishna b'chol shamoed in the Kinnon. Why is it that specifically at Chol HaMoed we go out? Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum schar pu'ula demozli, Gabon. Because it's easy for Bezdin to hire workers, because people cannot work on Chol HaMoed in most of their other jobs, so Bezdin could save money. Bezdin isn't always rolling in dough, so they could save money and have them go out of Chol HaMoed. Amar Zvid v'item r'shar sheshmamina. We see from this, ki yavinu le schar mitrumas halishka yavinu lo, that the schar from the shluchei bezdin that go out comes from the trumas halishka. The isak adaitu chamididhu yavinu lo, if you're going to say that bezdin would stick a bill to the balabayas that has the claim, and the workers would be paid by the balabayas himself, my nafkalominayu, what would make the difference? Kolkama de boy litulu. Whatever it costs, that's what they would have to pay. But it must be that, no, that Bezin at the end of the day is going to be stuck with the bill, from, and they'll have to pay with it from the Trumas Halishka, and therefore, they tried to save money by sending them out on Chol HaMoed. Tos explains, even though Trumas Halishka is generally used for things that are necessary to be done in the Beis HaMikdash, we have a rule of Lev Bezdin Masna Elayu, that Bezin can make a Tanai, and say that we're going to use these monies for different items and not for Hegdish proper itself. And Tosus points out that the Gemara in Ksubis gives on Kuvad, gives others examples of this. Ba'ad Kanma, and what exactly is the shear of mixture of Klayim that you're required to uproot? If you have one tiny bit that mixed with the vine, let's say, of the wheat, automatically you have to uproot. So the Gemara says following, Kol sa she'eshba roiva zera mimin acher yima'et. If you have a field with a quarter of a kav, which is 1/24 of a sa'a, and it has zera mimin acher, in that amount there is zera from a different min, then there is a chiyuv to be oker the klayim. A sa'a has 6 kav, and a quarter of a kav is 1/24 parts. So even if his intention was to plant wheat on one side and a vine on another, but if that much gets mixed, then there's a chiv to be mayit. Ask the Marva Atayim, but didn't we learn to skinushu mafkirin kol asadakula, that there was a takana? This brisa seems to indicate that if a person violated klayim, they would take away his ownership of the entire field. Yet over here we learn yimayit, they would just take away that area, remove that area of intermingling, and that was enough. Answers the Gemara, loy kasha. Kan koidim takana, kan lachar takana. There was a takana which changed things. This sanya, as we learned in a brisa, this is quoted in Shkolim. Originally, what the Shluchei Bezin used to do is they would uproot the klayim and throw in front of animals. But ultimately, the Balibatim were totally fine with that. Why? They had someone weeding their fields for them. And their animals got fed. So they would uproot and throw it out and not let their animals eat it. At the end of the day, it was fine. To keep in mind, they didn't intend to do the grow the things together. They just weren't being careful. If you lose ownership of the entire field, they were misakin to be mafkin the entire field. So then their practices of klayim began to cease, and they started to be much more careful vis-a-vis klayim. We pick up with the new Mishnah on Vavim Beis, 10 lines from the top, Vavim Yaakov Oimer, Moishchin Esamayim Ilan Li'ilan. You're allowed to draw water from one tree to the next, to set that up for Chol HaMoed. And Rashi explains that not only is Beis HaShlochen, as we learned on the Mishnah on Beis Amin Aleph, a field that needs irrigation, if you don't irrigate a Chol HaMoed, there'll be a Hesed. So too, when it comes to trees as well, but the only way you can irrigate is from tree to tree. Ubilvad, back into the Mishnah, Shel Yashkes Kol HaKasada, it's not necessary to water the entire field, only watering from tree to tree. Continues the Mishnah, Zroim Shalosh Shas Lufnei Ameid, Lo Yashkem B'Moed. If you have vegetation that had not been watered before Chol HaMoed, which indicates, says Rashi, that they are often, in many instances, they're not watered. So then in such a case, then there's no need to water them Amod. Lo Yashkem B'Moed. V'cham Matirim B'Zeh U'B'Zeh. Chum are more lenient on both of these topics. Number one, if you have a field with trees, you could water the entire field. Number two, when it comes to vegetation, zra'im, so those things, you can water them, even if you didn't water them before Chol HaMoed. The position of the Chachamim, says Rashi, is the opinion of Rabbi Meir, who holds on Beis Amin Aleph, that you could be mashke even a stay Beis Habal, which is not a majority opinion. It's interesting that he's referred to over here in our Mishnah as Shitas Chachamim. Gemara begins, Amar Rav Yehuda, Moises Sada Mitunenes Mutter. This Rabbi Lazar says, that you shouldn't be Mashkez Kol HaSada Kula. That's only talking about a field that has not become dehydrated. But if we're talking about a field that has become dehydrated, a stay ilan, in such a case, you could water the entire field. Tanyami Hachi says, in brights like this, Kisham Rasla Hashkaisim Moed. When we prohibited watering on Moed, Loy Amru El Bizraim Shalosh Aslan Fnei Moed, we only prohibited those vegetation that didn't need watering before Moed. Al Zram Shishasl Fnei Moed, Mutla Hashkaisim Moed. But those things that need watering, then you could even water them on Yom Tov itself, as well as, and this is where we're bringing a riot to Rav Yehuda, v'imhoisa sadam metunenes mutter, and if it was a field that was dry, it's going to be permissible. Now we add something else that we've not discussed up until now, v'ein mashkin stay grid b'moed. But you're not allowed to water a field that could survive without water. In other words, a dry field that survives without irrigation, that you can't water on Yom Tov. And once again, here the Chacham are lenient. Amar Ravina, Shma Mina, Hai Tarbitzi, Shari L'Tarbutzi. These gardens, you're allowed to sprinkle them, Shari L'Tarbutzi B'Chol Demoid. You're allowed to sprinkle them Chol Moed, even though there isn't a Pseida if you don't. This is consistent for what we learned with Stay Grid. Stay Grid, my time, why is it that the field that doesn't need watering, nevertheless, you're allowed to the afla mashvile charfe, that the sprinkling helps for those afla. Afla, we said, are the dark ones. In other words, the ones that are having difficulty budding that come out late, even though there was already a significant crop, and it's not a hefset, explained the mefarshim, but it's permissible for that reason. Hachanami afla mashvile charfe. So too, when it comes to the gardens, as long as you're helping the afla, then it's going to be permissible. Tan Rabban, right? Beets and stay love and b'shvius, avalo b'moed. You're allowed to sprinkle a white field, in other words, a wheat field on shvius, but not on chol moed. Ask the marva, time my beets and bein b'moed bein b'shvius. Then we learn you're allowed to. Amar Rafuna loy kasha. Har Rabbi Lozer and Yaakov har Rabbanan. Just like we learned that the Rabbanan are more lenient in our Mishnah, so too, when it comes to stay lavan, they're also more lenient than Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov. Tani idach, marbitzen stay lavan erev shvius. We learned another brisa, you're allowed to sprinkle them on erev shvius. Kedei shiyetzu yirakos b'shvius. In order that good vegetables should come out in shmita. V'lo oid, el shem marbitzen stay lavan b'shvius. Kedei shiyetzu yirakos l'matzoy shvius. Another source that seems to follow the opinion of the Rabbanan that you're allowed to water them on shvius itself so that you'll have better fruits for Matzoy Shvius. The next Mishnah Tzadin es ha'ishus ves ha'achborim. We're allowed to trap different rodents, like mice, mistea inon, mistea lovam bidarka, in the normal way, to protect the fields. The Mayadu b'Shvius applies both during Chol Moed as well as during Shemitah. V'chachamim ha'imrim, mistea inon kidarka, v'chachamim agree that you could do it normally in stay Elon, but when it comes to the wheat field, when the rodents don't damage as much as in the stay Elon, so then in such a case, you have to do it with a shinui. Umikarin, and you could create kar, here comes the word kir, a wall. As appears to you, you can make a wall in a hole. Let's say there was a fence that had been broken in a field, b'mayit, during Chol Moed, b'shvius boine kedarko. On Chol Moed, you're allowed to make a temporary wall. And during shvius, you're allowed to make a full-fledged wall. Rashi says that there's a chiddush here. Even though it looks like you're trying to protect the fruits, nevertheless, the halacha is that it's going to be mutter. What exactly is an ishus? So here we have a strange tradition in Chazal, which might very well have an interesting scientific explanation. My ishus amr of Yehuda beria, it's an animal she'en la, a rodent she'en la inayim, that doesn't have eyes. It could be that their eyes were very, very small, or also it could be a type of rodent that feels with its antennas. Amr rava bar yishmal v'item rav yarem v'shlaim mikra. Where do we find a reference to this in the pasuk that there is an animal without eyes? But the pasuk says in Tehillim, "Kmo shablul temes yaloch nefel, eishes bal chozu shamesh," that they're not able to see in the sun, and that causes them to go into the sun and ultimately get hurt. Tan Rabba, we learned in Brisa Sun is ishus v'sachbar mistei lavan, umisei ilan kedarka. You're allowed to trap them in the normal way. Umachriven chorei nimalni, you could destroy the holes of ants. Kate said, "Machriven, how do you destroy them?" Rishim Gamliel Omer, "Maybe offer michor ze v'nosa to chor ze." You move the dirt from one hole to the next. Vein chokin ze ze, and then they are trapped and suffocated. Now, the way that they actually suffocate, they suffocate each other, and that is the insects could tell when the
dirt has been removed and other insects have been put by their hole, that they attack those foreigners. So in such a case, that's the way to get rid of the insects, is to have them attack each other. This will only work if you put them on two different sides of a river. In other words, if there's no way for them to go back to their original hull. And that there's no board that joins the two sides. And also if there is any type of boundary that they could walk over, then in such a case, the ants will just simply go back to their original place. Ad kama ad parsa, so you need to really, really distance them. But if you do distance them, then this is the suggestion. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes today's daf, a technical one and a short one. However, in Mirtzah Hashem, we will also discuss for the halacha of the daily daf some details of the halachos of watering one's garden during Shemitah. Those are important set of lachos. I don't think that we're going to be able to deal with all of the issues, but Be'ezer Hashem, we will touch on some of the important issues that are discussed. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes Daf Vav in Maseches Ma'id Katan.